This week's episode of An Extra Glance is sponsored by listeners in support of Honoring the Female Voice, a show celebrating the works of Mary Oliver at the Banks Building in Minneapolis on February 25th. Tickets available at honoringthefemalevoice.eventbrite.com. Hi, my name is Ed Burke, and welcome to An Extra Glance, where I take a closer look at stories from the news and from history. This week, taking a look to find out just what happened in Sweden. At a rally in Florida, ostensibly for the presidential election 1,354 days later, Donald Trump famously invoked the problems in Sweden.
You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden! Who would believe this? Sweden!
Who would believe this? Well, there were lots of news articles about how Swedes and others didn't believe it. But the fact is, terrorism in Sweden is believable, even if it's relatively rare. The Global Terrorism Database lists 10 deadly attacks in the last 3 decades of the 20th century. Several of these were political assassinations. In April 1971, 2 members of the Croatian National Resistance assassinated Yugoslav Ambassador Vladimir Rodovic, and in 1979, Zairean Ambassador Mobutu Dongo Yeno was poisoned. Finally, in 1986, Prime Minister Olof Palme was shot and killed returning home from the cinema. These latter killings remain unsolved. In addition to these targeted assassinations, there's one where it's presumed that the assassins missed their intended victim. In September 1990, Efat Ghazi, the wife of an Iranian Kurdish leader, was killed by a bomb that is believed to have been meant for her husband. As for larger attacks, in April 1975, the Bader-Meinhof Group, a West German leftist guerrilla group also known as the Red Army Faction, seized the West German embassy in Stockholm, hoping to win the release of 26 group members held prisoner in West Germany. When Swedish police arrived and the German government refused to negotiate, the guerrillas shot 2 attachés. As the police were preparing to storm the embassy, the guerrillas set off TNT, resulting in the death of one of their own. The deadliest Swedish terrorist attack was probably the bombing of Yacht Yugoslav Airlines Flight 367 in January 1972. I say probably because there is some speculation regarding alternative causes. Flight 367 left Stockholm for Belgrade with 28 people on board. Shortly after entering Czechoslovakian airspace, the aircraft was ripped apart by an explosion. 27 people died. One, flight attendant Vesna Vulovic, survived the 30,000-foot fall, emerging from a coma 27 days later. She holds the Guinness World Record for the highest fall survived without a parachute. The official investigation determined that the plane was brought down by a bomb packed in luggage. A man claiming to be a Croatian nationalist claimed credit in an anonymous call to a Swedish newspaper, and the Yugoslav government also blamed Croatian nationalists. However, some people have cast doubt on these findings. In 2009, journalists Peter Hornung and Pavel Theiner examined secret documents from the Czech Civil Aviation Authority and concluded that the plane encountered problems, lost altitude, and was probably shot down by the Czechoslovakian Air Force. They concluded that the Czechoslovakian government invented the story of the high-altitude explosion to cover up their mistake. And that's why this is only probably the deadliest terrorist attack in Sweden. But in any case, these aren't really the sort of attacks that Donald Trump was referring to. His concern is not Croats or Germans, but Muslims. So have there been attacks related to Muslim immigration to Sweden? Yes. On December 11th, 2010, a suicide bomber identified as Taimur Abdul Wahab blew himself up on a busy street in Stockholm. He injured 2 people, but managed to kill only himself. But this isn't the only attack related to immigrants. Between August 1991 and January 1992, John Ausonius went on an anti-immigrant shooting spree, despite himself being the son of Swiss and German immigrants and a naturalized Swedish citizen. He shot at least 11 people, 10 of whom survived. The one death was an Iranian student named Jimmy Ranjbar. Ausonius provides a connection to one of our earlier attacks. While in prison in the 1980s for assault, Ausonius met Miro Barisic, who was one of the two people convicted in the murder of the Yugoslav ambassador in 1971. The deadliest attack related to immigrants occurred in October 2015. When Anton London Peterson entered the Kronon School in Trollhättan wearing a mask and robe reminiscent of Darth Vader, many people thought it was an early Halloween costume. But then, armed with a sword, he attacked and killed two teachers and a student before being shot by police. Witnesses said that he specifically targeted dark-skinned individuals. A note left in his apartment stated that he was opposed to immigration, and authorities said that his social media accounts revealed a strong affinity for Nazism. After Trump's comments, some reporters noted that there was a bombing in Sweden last month perpetrated by neo-Nazis. I have generally avoided including attacks in which nobody died for the practical reason that there are too many of them. About 90% of the incidents for Sweden listed in the Global Terrorism Database resulted in no deaths. But because this attack made the news, I'll note that it is one of three recent incidents involving explosives in Gothenburg. In November 11th, a bomb exploded outside a cafe frequented by the far left, causing no injuries. In late January, an unexploded bomb was found in a campground that was temporarily housing immigrants. And on January 5th, in the incident that made the news, a bomb exploded outside a center for asylum seekers, injuring an immigration office staff member. Three members of the neo-Nazi Nordic Resistance Movement were arrested. And so, despite the scoffing over the weekend, we can see that even Sweden has had its occasional problems with terrorism. They began well before the recent wave of refugees started arriving, and most of them have been committed by Europeans, though not necessarily Swedes. And, as in most places, the greatest share of responsibility belongs to far-right nationalists. The Global Terrorism Database is housed at start.umd.edu, official explanation for Yacht Flight 367 from the Czech National Archives, alternate explanation reported by The Guardian January 13, 2009, Gothenburg attacks reported in The Local on February 3rd, narrative of the embassy takeover from the book Bader Meinhof Complex by Stefan Aust, list of attacks by John Ausonius from Murderpedia. See you next week!